Exodus chapter 15. And our text for this evening is the opening verse. Exodus 15 and verse 1. Remembering that Moses and the children of Israel are beside the sea, the Red Sea. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. A horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. This is the first song unto the Lord which is recorded in Holy Scripture. If the songs of Solomon are 1,005, the Scripture records but 3. 3 songs which are written by Moses. Here is the first. In Exodus 15. The second is in Deuteronomy 32. And the third is Psalm 90. There are other songs to be found in Scripture, but the song of Moses is the first. It is not only the first, it is also among the last songs that are found in Scripture. Turn with me, please, to the last book of the Bible and to Revelation chapter 15. For there in Revelation 15, we read in verse 2, and I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire. And them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thy King of saints. The song of Moses in Exodus 15 was sung following a great victory. The victory over Pharaoh and his pursuing army. And the song that is found in Revelation 15, the song of Moses along with the song of the Lamb, is also sung after a great victory, namely the victory over the beast. The defeat of the beast causes the saints of God to sing the song of Moses and of the Lamb. I notice further that the song of Moses on both occasions was sung near a sea. The Red Sea in Exodus 15. And here we read in Revelation 15 and verse 2, and I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire. And them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God, and they sing the song of Moses. I notice also that the Lamb is associated with both occasions of the singing of the psalm, or the song of Moses. In Exodus 15, it was sung after the children of Israel had been led out of Egypt and delivered. How? By the blood of the Lamb. The blood and the lintels and the doorposts. And here we find that when the beast is defeated, they sing the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. Israel was delivered out of Egypt by the shed blood. When the beast is conquered, they sing the song of the Lamb as well as the song of Moses. So let us take a closer look at this very special song of Moses. And we begin by giving attention, first of all, to the time that the song was sung. The Holy Spirit wants us to notice just when Moses and the children of Israel burst out into song. And for that we must look at the last few verses of chapter 14. But we read there in chapter 14 of Exodus in verse 29, "But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord, and his servant Moses then sang Moses and the children of Israel." Just then. Yes, it was just then that Moses and the children of Israel burst out into song. Notice it was a song of great delight. This was how Moses celebrated the victory. This is how Moses expressed his thanks to Almighty God. He sang. He sang this song along with the children of Israel. That was how Deborah and Barak celebrated the victory over Jabin. But we read in Judges 5 and verse 1, "Then sang Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, on that day, saying, Praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel." And as we have seen, it is how heaven celebrates and will celebrate the overthrow of the beast. They'll sing. They'll sing unto the Lord a song of delight, a song of joy, a song of praise, the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. And that is often how the saints of God celebrate victories. That's how they often celebrate answers to prayer. They sing. That's what we want to do. We want to praise the Lord. And the best way to praise the Lord is to sing his praises. It is usual for the ungodly to celebrate in a less dignified way. That's how Belshazzar celebrated the greatness of Babylon. For we read in Daniel 5 and verse 4, "They drank wine and praised the God of gold and of silver and of brass, of iron, of wood and of stone." But the child of God expresses his delight, his joy, as Moses did, by singing a song unto the Lord. As we read there in the book of Psalms, a whole book of songs, and there in Psalm 28, we read in the verse 7, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, And with my song will I praise him. You see, the child of God, the psalmist, is rejoicing in the Lord. He delights in the Lord. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him. I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. So it is, believer, when you and I are merry, when the heart is merry, and we are rejoicing in the goodness of God, we usually sing a song of praise unto the God that has been our help and has been our stay. In Numbers chapter 21, there we read in verse 16, and from thence they went to Beer, that is the well, whereof the Lord spake unto Moses, gather the people together, and I will give them water. Verse 17. Then Israel sang this song. Spring up, O well, sing ye unto it. Their heart had been made glad because the Lord promised he would supply them with water. What did they do? They sang his praises. They burst out into song. Notice again that word, then, in verse 17 of Numbers 21. Then, when the Lord promised to give them water, then they sang. When the Lord delivered Israel, defeated Pharaoh and his pursuing army, then sang Moses. It was a spontaneous thing to sing the praises of God. The Christian can sing because he has a joyous spirit. Ephesians 5, verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. Praise God, that's the portion of the child of God. Singing and making melody in the heart. There's a song in the heart that the world doesn't have. There's a song in the soul that the world knows nothing about. And so we say it was a song of delight. They were delighting themselves in the Lord. It was also a song of deliverance. What a contrast is this song from what went before. While in the house of bondage, children of Israel weren't singing, but they were sighing because of the cruel bondage, because of their hard taskmaster. They had nothing to sing about. Instead, we read in Exodus 2, verses 24 and 25, that they sighed by reason of bondage. And they cried, and God heard their groanings. There were their sighings, and they cried, and God heard their groanings. No songs. No songs were sung. They didn't have much to sing about while in Egypt. But now their sighing gives way to singing. Now their groaning is turned into gladness. And they sing the song of Moses. And dear Christian, isn't that the way it was with you and I? Isn't it the same with us? While we were born slaves to the devil, we didn't have much to sing about. There wasn't much of a song in our hearts. Suffering at the hands of a cruel taskmaster, we didn't have much to sing about, but then deliverance came. Then God in his grace saved us. Then the blood of the Lamb was applied to us. and our sins were washed away. Freedom at last. The chains were broken. And a song was put in our heart. And we wanted to sing about it. We had a song in our hearts. We sung a song we had never sung before. We sung a song that we didn't want to sing. We couldn't sing while we were in the world. It was the song of the soul set free. It was the song of deliverance. That's what Moses sang. He sang a song of deliverance. It was a new song. You don't read of the song prior to Exodus 15. When it was sung as a new song. A song of deliverance and salvation. We read there in verse 30, thus the Lord saved Israel, chapter 14. The Lord saved Israel that day. 15 and verse 2. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. Verse 13. Thou in thy mercy have led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. It's the song of the redeemed. That's the song the psalmist sang. When he spoke about the Lord lifting up out of a fearful pit and out of the miry clay, setting his feet upon the rock of his salvation, he went on to say, and he hath put a new song in my mouth. Even praise unto our God, Psalm 40 and verse 3. Dear child of God, you know something, we'll never tire of singing that song, that new song. We'll never tire of singing it, for it will always be new to us. When you sing the song of redemption, it's always fresh. It's never out of date. And you'll continue to sing it. David sang the new song. Psalm 96 verse 1, Psalm 98 verse 1, Psalm 144 verse 9, Psalm 149 verse 1. And the prophet exhorts us to continue to sing the new song, Isaiah 42 and verse 10. And the singing of that song, that new song, will go on and on and on. For that's what they sing in heaven. They're singing the new song in heaven. Revelation 5 and verse 9. There we're told, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book. It's the new song. It's been sung in heaven. Revelation 14. And verse 3, and they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne, before the four beasts, the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. See, the new song doesn't mean anything to the ungodly. It means everything to those who have been redeemed. We as the redeemed of the Lord, we love to sing the new song. We love to sing about redemption. We love to sing about the blood. We love to sing about Christ. It'll always be the new song to us. And that's what it was to Moses. Song of deliverance. Deliverance through the slain lamb. Deliverance through the blood. And for us also, the deliverance through the cross work of Christ. You never tire of singing those songs. We'll sing them in heaven. Sing the new song in glory. And then you notice also it was a song about defeat. Yes, about defeat. That is the defeat of the enemy. it was after Moses saw that there remained not so much as one of them. Chapter 14, verse 28. When he saw that there remained not so much as one of them. Not one Egyptian survived. And that caused Moses to sing. It was after Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. Then Moses sang, and the children of Israel, this song unto the Lord. Do you notice that? It was whenever they witnessed the defeat of the enemy that they sang. Some people wouldn't agree with that today. As I said before, some time ago, when the British fought the Argentinians over the Falklands, and the British won the battle, and there were calls for services in the churches up and down the length and breadth of the land. Services of thanksgiving, giving thanks to God for giving the victory. And there were just as many cried out, no, 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 we daren't do that. Oh, we daren't be partakers of triumphalism. Oh, we daren't sing. Give thanks to God for the victory. I have to tell you, I'm on the side of Moses in this matter. I would sing with Moses because the enemy has been defeated. Why would we object to that? To singing and giving thanks to God whenever he gives our country a victory over our enemies. That's what we'll do when we're in heaven. We've just noted that. Whenever the beast is overthrown, heaven will sing. You go on through Revelation, you get to chapter 18. What do you have in chapter 18 of Revelation? Well, Revelation 18, verse 24. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. Babylon the great whore, as the verse is referring to. In her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia. If you're a child of God, you'll be there. If you're a child of God, you'll be joining in the Alleluias of heaven when the great whore is overthrown. When Babylon the Great has fallen, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. Would that not make us shout hallelujah? Certainly it will. And again they said, Alleluia. And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 beasts, elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the voice of many waters, as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. That's what Moses was doing. And believer, that's what we will do when we reach the other side. We'll sing the new song forever. The song of the soul set free. And we'll sing hallelujah. It'll be the hallelujah chorus in heaven. When Babylon the Great has fallen, and the beast is overthrown, that's the time that the song was sung. And then we notice also the tone of the song that was sung. We may gather from these words that Moses and the children of Israel sang this song with great enthusiasm. Their enemy had been defeated. They'd been delivered. They'd been set free. And the first thing that I notice about the tone of this song is for Moses and the children of Israel, it was a personal song. It was a personal song. How many were at the Red Sea? We don't know. Tens of thousands. Tens of thousands. And they all began to sing. My, what must that have been like? To hear a choir made up of tens and hundreds of thousands of liberated souls. All singing. Singing the song of Moses. But I notice in verse 1, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord and spake, saying, I will sing. Not just we will sing collectively. No, Moses said, I will sing. And every freed and liberated Hebrew also sang, I will sing. It was a personal song. It was the personal song of every one of the children of Israel. Because what way they were singing, why, it was their personal testimony. They were actually singing about what had happened to them. And that's what made the song so personal. Believer, when you and I sing in the house of God the Psalms and the hymns of Zion, we sing as a congregation. But the songs that we sing, are they not our own personal testimony? Of course they are. Why, whenever we sing, I waited for the Lord my God, and patiently did bear, at length to me did incline my voice and cry to hear. We can identify with that. We can say, yes, that's what happened to me. He heard my voice, and he heard my cry. He lifted me up out of the fearful pit and out of the miry clay. That's what makes it personal. Yes, we know it's the Psalm of David. We know it's a messianic psalm. It's about Christ. It's a psalm that we can regard as personal. When we come to Psalm 116, and we sing the opening words, I love the Lord, because my voice and prayers he did hear, and while I live, will call on him who bowed to me his ear. I love the Lord. That's our personal testimony, isn't it? I love the Lord. The psalmist wrote those words, but we might as well have written them, because we love the Lord. And when we sing, we're singing hymns and psalms that really refer to us. They're our testimony. And when it comes to singing the great hymns of faith, many of them are the summary of your life and mine, when I survey the wondrous cross. That's what we did. On which the Prince of Glory died. My richest gain I count but loss and poor contempt. and all my pride. That's her testimony. We surveyed the cross. We saw that Christ had died there in our stead. So when we sing that wonderful hymn, we should sing it from the heart, because it's our personal testimony. And do we not see ourselves in the words of that great hymn of Anne Ross, cousin? O Christ, what burdens bowed thy head? Our load was laid on thee. Thou stoodest in the sinner's stead, didst bear all ill for me. A victim led, thy blood was shed. Now there's no load for me. You know, whenever we sing that hymn, we could easily turn to the person beside us and say, that hymn's about me. You know that hymn that Mrs. Cousins wrote? It's all about me. Each one of us who know the Lord could say that. That's how personal the hymn is. And dear child of God, because these sacred songs have so much to say about what Christ has done for us as individuals, then we ought then to say with Moses, I will sing unto the Lord. That's what I'm going to do. I will sing unto the Lord. We bear that in mind when we come to sing in our service of worship. I maybe would sing with more enthusiasm. I will sing unto the Lord. Because this is my personal song. Notice also it was a positive song. You hear a lot today about being positive. Positive thinking. Have a positive attitude. Well, Moses was there before them. He was there before these motivational speakers. Because you look at that hymn, that song of Moses, and it's all positive. Moses sang, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. It declares a fact about which there can be no doubt. For it says, the horse and his rider have he thrown into the sea. That's a fact. The enemy has been thrown into the sea. Fallen to the bottom like a stone. Like a piece of lead. This was all in the song of Moses. There are no ifs and buts or maybes in this song. You ever have the misfortune to hear the worldly songs of today, as well as being in the main immoral? It's always about death, or about loss, or about unfaithfulness. But the songs that the child of God sings, they're about triumph, about victory, about faithfulness, not unfaithfulness, the faithfulness of God. They're songs about joy and happiness and peace. Such was the song of Moses. And so with such positive hymns and psalms and our hymnal and psalter, let us then say with Moses, I will sing unto the Lord. Yes, I will sing about a victorious Savior. I will sing about victorious blood. I will sing about a victorious faith. I will sing about a victorious God, a God who has never known defeat. Let's sing these psalms, sing these hymns that exalt the Lord, and sing with all of our hearts. A personal song, a positive song, a perpetual song. As we've already noted, The song of Moses didn't die there at the Red Sea, singing it in heaven. But notice how it begins. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord in the future. I will sing. We're singing it now, Moses says, and I will sing it. I'll go on singing it. I'll go on singing this song. And as we have already learned, the song of Moses is still being sung. Praise the Lord. Being sung in heaven. Now heaven is eternal. Does that not mean that the song of Moses will be sung forever? It's a perpetual song. So whatever happens in this world, the Lord will always be praised. Whatever people say about Christ, whatever this silly man, Pullman, says about what he's going to do to God, what a fool he is. The fool has said in his heart there is no God. Mr. Pullman's a fool. And he will not praise the Lord. Doesn't matter. Who's he? Doesn't matter. The Lord's name will always be praised. His name will be praised forever. Praised here on earth. The Lord will never leave himself without a witness. And that witness will praise the Lord and praise him forever. He'll be praised on earth. He'll be praised in heaven. Psalm 116 verse 18. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. From this time forth and evermore. Psalm 61 and verse 18. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever. And if you have a soul that has been saved by grace, this is what you'll be doing. This is what we'll be doing forever. Singing the praises of the Lamb. Psalm 104 verse 33, I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. As long as I live, while I have my being. And after that, we'll sing like we've never sung before. We'll sing forever. Praise the Lord. That's the tone. And finally, you have the theme. The theme of the song that was sung. I think that we can say, first of all, that this song is a song of praise. I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. It's a song of praise. Now you say, are not all songs songs of praise? No. Psalm 69 verse 12. David said, they that sit in the gate speak against me, and I was the song of the drunkard. It wasn't a song of praise. It was a song of derision. I became the song of the drunkard. So let us then say with the psalmist, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. I will praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Every time we sing one of these great hymns in our hymn, every time we sing a psalm, we're praising the Lord. It's our testimony. It's our personal song. Let us sing with all of our hearts. It's a song of praise. It's a song about a person. I will sing unto the Lord. I will sing unto the Lord. You mentioned a few weeks ago about some young man. We started up meetings, brought people in, brought in a band. And when he was challenged about the kind of music that he was offering the people, minister said to him, this is no way to worship God. Oh, he says, we're not here to worship God, we're here to entertain. Entertain. You can get that in the world. You can go to any of the theatres in Toronto and be entertained. But when we come to worship, we sing not unto the people in the pew or the seats, we sing unto the Lord. He's to be the focus of our attention and all our singing. Look here at the verse 2. The Lord is my strength. This is what he's singing. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God. I will prepare him a habitation. My Father's God. I will exalt him. My Lord, the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Verse 6. Thy right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. Verse 11. Who is like unto thee, O Lord? He sang this song to Jehovah. They not only sang unto the Lord, they sang about the Lord. The Lord occurs no less than 12 times in 18 verses. The pronouns he, him, thou, and thee are found 33 times. Surely no mistaking that this song was all about the Lord. Arthur W. Pink said, how significant and how searching is this? How entirely different from modern hymnology. So many hymns today are full of maudlin sentimentality. Instead of divine adoration, they announce our love to God instead of his love for us. They recount our experiences instead of his mercies. They tell more of human attainments instead of Christ's atonement. That's generally the truth. Pink wrote these words years ago. Nothing has changed. Moses sang a song, and the song was sung unto the Lord, and the song was sung about the Lord. That's how we're to sing. That's how we're to worship God. It was also a song, not only a praise and a song about a person, it was a song about his power. The old song is about the Lord and his power. What he did. And believer,
when we sing and sing our psalms and sing our hymns. We sing about the power of God and the place that God demonstrated his power more than anywhere else was at that place called Calvary. Because there at Calvary, Christ bore the sins of all of his elect. Every sin, what a burden that was. And what power was required. And through his atoning death, by the power of his right arm, he has saved all of his church. And when we come to sing about the wondrous cross, come to sing about the blood, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Believer, let's sing as Moses did unto the Lord. I will sing unto the Lord. And sing with enthusiasm. And sing with all of our hearts. Let's bow in prayer. Our God and loving and gracious Father, we bless thee for the new song that the redeemed of the Lord have learned. Even as we read there tonight in Revelation, only the redeemed can learn that song. For Lord, the new song is the song of deliverance. And only those who have been delivered from their sin have any desire to sing that song. We thank you, Lord, for that night, or day, an hour, when thou didst deliver so many of us here. And we thank thee, we can say thou dost put a new song in our mouth. Even praise unto our God. Lord, may we never lose that song. But, O God, may we sing day and daily. May it be our testimony. I will sing unto the Lord. I will sing today, and I will sing tomorrow, and I will sing unto the Lord the next day, and I'll sing throughout time as long as I have being, and I'll sing in the New Jerusalem, worthy is the Lamb. Lord, write the word in our hearts tonight. Again, may we meditate upon it. We ask thee, O God, that thou would bless us now as we part the one from the other. Take us each one to our homes in safety. And tarry with us there. Until we gather again here in the house of the Lord. Place that we love so dearly. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us forever. Amen.